Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chip Nellinger. He's at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM will be here from Windsor to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather forecast, not with Pete Levitt today because he's out of the office, but the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago looking down from the 23rd floor of the boat. Building there. And along the way today, we'll get an update of what's been happening in Washington, D.C. with the House of Representatives and the Farm Bill. And we'll hear all about how one high schooler from Paxton, Illinois, has made the trip from the high school there all the way to a great Big Ten school in agricultural education. We caught up with her last week at the Illinois FFA Convention in Springfield. And it all happens during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby July wheat down 6.5 cents. September 6.5 lower as well on a settlement price at 707.75. The July at $7.5, by the way. The hard red in Kansas City at 737 was down 2.75 on the day. From the corn pit in Chicago, nearby July contract, 673.25. That finished 9 cents lower on the afternoon. The September at 598.25, down 11.75. And December corn at 560.5, a dime lower. The March contract at 571, down 10.25. July of next year at 584.5, down 10 cents. July soybeans at 1497.5, down 25.5. The August at 1420.75, down 26.25. September at 1325.5, down 27.25. And November beans at $12.85, down 25.75. January 1288.5. Down 26.25. Bean meal futures at 445.60, down $8. Bean oil at 48.40, down 95 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago now finished up the afternoon with the August contract at $120 even. That's down 40 cents for the day. And the September feeders at 146.75. We're down 25. July lean hogs at $100.25. Finished 27.5 cents higher. August down a dime at 98.27.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media on the U of I campus. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. July contract, $95.40 a barrel, down $2.84. The RBOB gasoline at $2.77.7. That's the wholesale price. Down 11.5 cents. The difference between those RBOB and the ethanols now at 32.1 cents, and it's narrowing up for the day. Ethanol at $2.44.6 is down 2.9. And natural gas at $3.87.8 is 8.5 cents lower. Diesel fuel, 286.5 in New York, a dime lower for the afternoon. And gold futures finished up $87.80 lower at $1,285.90 an ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Should see mostly sunny skies and a high of 89 degrees. Mostly clear this evening, a low of 65. That on a southwest wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. A high near 90 Friday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 69 Saturday, sunny and 90 Saturday night, partly cloudy and 72. And by the time we get to Sunday, sunny skies and 90 degrees, partly sunny on Monday with a high of 90, Tuesday sunny and 90, and Wednesday a chance of flash showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 87 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Should talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's the 20th day of June. Normally, we would talk on Thursdays with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's out of the office today. And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, has kindly agreed to step into his shoes. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Chip.
No problem, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Now, there is lots of big news to talk about, but I think the thing that we need to discuss up front, or at least tell folks, because they've been waiting all day, the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., over the last couple of days has been debating and amending and trying to pass a farm bill for the next 5 years, and it has failed. And it failed along a party line vote, and we do not know at this point what that means for the farm bill, other than they will have to figure out something, although most are saying they will not try to extend the current farm bill, which has already been extended at this point. So we'll try to figure out what's going on with that. I know they're discussing in Washington, D.C., post the failure of that, and it just failed in the last hour or so, what will happen with the farm bill and all the farm programs. But it will put a great deal of uncertainty into the farmer's mind and maybe into the marketplace as well, I would think, Chip.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the market doesn't deal with uncertainty very well. So it leaves the door open to a lot of questions. You know, first and foremost, crop insurance subsidies going forward. So we've got some time here, but not a good development, and it's going to leave the door open to a lot of uncertainty going forward. Hopefully they can get something figured out there. My understanding was that they left the vote open so that there's still a slim chance they could get that passed, but looks like a failure to get that through the first crack.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to what's been happening. Things in Washington, D.C. have really been moving the marketplace, outside markets and the commodities both. From Mackey yesterday coming out and saying, we're done, we think, by the end of a year from now with QE3. And that put the marketplace into a tailspin, thinking, hey, wait a second, we've been enjoying some better times on the money spent out of the U.S. government. What's going to happen, I guess, if they stop spending money?
Exactly. And that led to a lot of selling yesterday. Actually, a worse day today in the stock market than yesterday. And then here late in the afternoon session, we did see the market get below those recent lows from about two and a half weeks ago, and then accelerated the selling. So stock market, you know, continues to not act very well. We've had a huge run higher, so it was overdue for a correction. But right now, you know, roughly 330, 340 lower in the stock market, and that was definitely a weight around the grain market's neck today as well.
And that pushed the market lower. July futures in the bean pit were down 25 and a half. The November contract off 25 and three quarters. Corn not much better, down about a dime to 11 cents across most of those futures trading contracts. Kind of ugly. Which place was the worst in your opinion?
Well, I think the beans. You know, I think beans struggled yesterday. If it weren't for corn and wheat rallying, you know, and dragging beans along for the ride, it would have been a rough go of it. And beans led us lower today. So, in my mind, the bean market is struggling a bit here. You know, the old crop contract, July, looks like it could open the door up for some more technical weakness. November's, you know, more of a follower at this point, kind of torn between, you know, strong demand, late planting, but is that demand going to carry through to the new crop? So I thought the bean market, the last 2 days really was a little bit of a weak link in the complex here.
And prior to that, were you of a mind that the beans were the weaker of those two commodities? And are you now is the other question, I suppose, between corn and soybeans.
Yeah, I think it's been a lot of back and forth, actually. There's been a lot of spread activity going on between corn and beans. You know, are we going to plant the corn acres? Are we not? Are we going to switch from corn to beans? So there's been a lot of back and forth and a lot of spread activity, not only between corn and beans, but between old crop beans, new crop beans, old crop corn, new crop corn. So it makes it pretty tough and choppy, but there has been a lot of back and forth on those spreads here for quite some time. The funds get involved in those and push those spreads to extremes, so it adds just another moving link, a moving gear to the whole analysis of where these markets could go.
Moving forward, a couple of things that will happen. Next week, of course, we have reports, but tomorrow we have some options that expire. Is that right?
That's right. The July options go off the board tomorrow, and you know, the first, I should say, the couple days preceding option expiration can, you know, create its own activity in the future side as traders adjust their positions for that option expiration. So any option expiration day always can add a little extra volatility. You never know what's going to happen. You throw into the mix what's happened here in the financial markets and the continued slide, and then the report coming out, the acreage and stocks report next week, and tomorrow could be just as interesting as the last couple of days here in the grain markets.
And we have first notice day coming up as well.
That's right. You throw on top of that first notice day next Friday, which happens to be the day of those all-important reports. We've got a hogs and pigs report that day. There's just a lot going on in these markets. Weather's going to start taking more of an impact here as we go forward. So there's plenty of volatility ahead for these grain markets in the short run here the next couple of weeks.
You didn't schedule vacation for the next week, right?
Well, I just got back from a week, so I tried to plan it so that I'd be here to watch the fireworks.
Okay. Now, when producers have been calling in today, they probably were worried. They were a little happier when we had a lot of green on the screen earlier in the week, but today probably worried them pretty considerably. What were you able to tell them about either corn or soybeans and the plans they have in place and maybe things that they might be able to do?
Yeah, I guess in our opinion here, just continuing to sell the rallies, you know, protect profit levels while they're here. Obviously, yields are a big part of that, but still the mindset that, particularly for new crop, we have to sell the rallies up here 2570 and above on December corn futures. You know, we've been scaling into sales for a while here above $13 on new crop beans. Not that we can't continue to go higher. Obviously, there's some things that could drive us higher, but it's too early to say that, you know, we can't go significantly lower as well. There's lots of questions out there. So a lot of risk. There's opportunities on rallies for producers to continue to, you know, whittle that risk down and protect themselves and get some new crop sales or hedges in place.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He is in Morton, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Recapping now the primary news story for the day, the House of Representatives has called its final roll call vote on the farm bill, and it did not pass. The vote went down in this way, 195 voted for the passage of that farm bill legislation. There were 171 Republicans and 24 Democrats, and 234 voted against it, so it failed. 62 Republicans and 172 Democrats. Again, the farm bill in Washington, D.C. that was making its way through the House of Representatives has failed. The Senate passed its legislation earlier in the year, and now there is just no idea, really, of where to go with the farm bill. Operating on an extended farm bill at this time, we'll try to figure that out as we make our way through the next week or so. You can always tune in to us and look for news on willag.org about the farm bill.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments.
Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You know, high school FFA chapters from around the nation are gathering at their state conventions this summer, and scattered among those blue and gold jackets will be their teachers and a few aspiring agricultural education teachers. I caught up with one of them last week and has her story on how she came to a Big Ten school through a community college system. The Illinois Association FFA holds its state convention in the land of Lincoln, Springfield. It's a hive of activity with young people passionate about agriculture, including Kirsten Blackford. She's here with the TriPoint FFA. Next spring, Kirsten, a senior majoring in Ag Ed at the University of Illinois, will student teach at TriPoint High School in Cullom. It's the route she took from her high school in Paxton to TriPoint that's unique. Kirsten's university career started on a community college path.
Like anybody, I've always wanted to go to the University of Illinois. But for me, since money was kind of an issue, I wanted to look into the community college route. I was enrolled in the Parkland Pathways program, which allowed me to attend both Parkland and the University of Illinois at the same time, and I got the best of both worlds. I was able to have the community college experience while enjoying the U of I pluses, like attending football games and being a part of a sorority.
For Kirsten, for many who choose careers in agriculture, high school FFA plays an important role. It gives them a different perspective on life's potential. Kirsten, at ease with her FFAers at state convention, knew the classroom was her future, but not which classroom.
I just didn't know how I wanted to teach. I knew I didn't want to do math or English. I wanted something else. And when I was in high school and finally enrolled in my agriculture program and was able to be a part of the FFA organization, I felt right at home. Like, this is it, and that's why I chose my career in this path.
A path that led through a community college to the University of Illinois. A place many young people fear because of its size, but just as FFAers are at home among their peers at convention, the size of Illinois' campus fades in a moment.
And the U of I is known for its great size, but however, when you get into your selective college and department, it's not big at all. In our department, we have less than 40 students enrolled, so it's small and it's a great family. And with our two different programs that we offer, Ag Science Education and Ag Leadership, we are even to condense that even smaller to get to know your great core of students and that hopefully that you'll be working with in the future.
Teachers of agriculture that will spend a career, a lifetime really, doing something they probably learned to love in high school as an FFAer. And in Kirsten Blackford's case, followed a pathway from Paxton to Parkland to Illinois. Okay, a couple of things to admit here. First, I was not at the FFA convention in Springfield for the state of Illinois last week. The folks in the College of Aces that I work with that produce television, including my partner, Steve Parker, was there, and they did the interviews and brought them back to me for me to produce. Now, we did produce a TV story. There's a television version of what you just heard up on our website right now at willag.org, so you can take a look at that if you'd like. But when I first listened to the interview from Ms. Blackford, this is the first thing that came to my ears, and it will put you back in your place from, well, just listen.
State their name, hometown, where they went to high school. We get that in there.
All right. I can. What? What did you say? No, I'm okay.
Todd Gleason's going to do it.
Who's that?
Todd Gleason, who's that? Oh, I was crushed. On this Thursday afternoon, let's check in now with Matt Bennett. He's a TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Matt, you don't have any problems being recognized, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not near as famous as the great Todd.
Oh, you just got to put yourself in place from time to time. That's
true.
For sure. That was very funny when I first heard it, I got to tell you. Okay, so it's kind of a rough day in Chicago. Holy smokes. Bernanke opens his mouth and things tumble as if, you know, the whole economy is going to fall apart. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess giveth and taketh away kind of come to mind for me. Yesterday, obviously, was an excellent day. Come back in today, and as far as beans go, on some of these, we gave pretty well everything back. On corn, about half of it. So kind of a rough day, and I think, you know, as with any bit of information that comes out, I think usually as we follow up in the following days, I think we'll kind of learn more about how the impacts of things might happen with the Fed. But, you know, as you know, the Fed can have a huge impact on all of our markets.
Well, as I've been talking with each of the analysts this week, and I've been trying to piece some of this together, I'm wondering, we had an awful lot of day trading that was happening with the black boxes, some movement of cash out of the marketplaces into the commodities. Looks like, and usually those are buys as opposed to sells. Do we know who the primary sellers were today? And was it just a difference as to on which side of the market folks might be? So funds yesterday and commercials today or something along those lines?
Well, I think the funds were still liquidating some today. And there was a couple of things I got over the wire that indicated one of the larger firms might be pulling completely out of ag commodities. And, you know, it's not anything that's been actually proven yet, so I hate to even bring up who it was, but you know, I think there's definitely money that's flowing out of commodities by all means. I mean, whenever you look at crude oil, it's getting hammered right now. You know, gold, basically a lot of the commodities have really had a rough time here.
Maybe we ought to turn our attention to the fundamentals on the ground. I suspect your crop looks a lot better today than it did a week ago.
It does, you know, and we were able to catch a couple of rains here in the past week. Most of our farms have gotten between an inch and 2 inches, so and it's come fairly good. You know, there's been a little bit of wind here and there, a little hail actually here and there, but nothing that's really been a long-term, you know, lasting impact type thing on our crop. And so we're feeling pretty darn good about our crops right around in this area.
Have you done, and I know you have, the numbers as we look forward to the acreage reports, maybe the grain stocks as well, but the acreage reports, and started to think about numbers of acres that might not be planted, prevent plant, or something other than that, and what it really means to the marketplace, because it looks as if we would have a pretty good-sized crop, maybe even a record-breaking crop on lower acreage than what we started with, at least, and only a decent yield.
Yeah, I mean, right now, as far as corn, what I'm looking at and what the USDA is going to come out with, I think might be two different things. It's going to be really tough to see, you know, considering theirs is compiled as of early in the month. You know, where are they going to come out at on acreage? And to me, I'm assuming they're going to be in the 95 area, but I'm coming out a little bit lower than that. Whenever you look at some of the planting progress numbers, it sure looks like there's at least 3 million acres that probably, in my opinion, aren't going to be planted. So, you know, how does that shake out? To me, next week's numbers are going to be highly scrutinized, as with any government report, and I think that people are going to kind of realize that it's going to take a little more time before we can find out actually what the numbers are. And as far as beans go, I still think that 77 numbers are awful small on beans, and a lot of guys are going to go ahead and plant beans if they have an opportunity to, even though it's very late, just simply because the price of beans here in the last few weeks has been so good.
Well, the crop progress report showed that the condition of the corn crop at least one percentage point better than it was the year before. Is that just because farmers looked at a drought-ridden crop last year and whatever's out there looks a whole lot better, or you really think it improved that much?
I don't think that it improved that much, Todd. In fact, I have to feel like a lot of these condition ratings, you know, are just basically driving by. And I guess I've talked with a couple of guys that I friends on, I guess, on a couple of the social media situations where I said, you know, I would rather see the conditions reported from a helicopter this year in some of these situations, because you've got a lot of ponds out there, and, you know, there's just a lot of stress to the crop.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
It's National Martini Day.
The origin of the martini is uncertain, but its forerunner is often considered the Martinez, a cocktail with sweet vermouth and Old Tom gin. Of course, there are modifications. Winston Churchill once said that the perfect martini involved pouring a glass full of cold gin and looking at the bottle of vermouth. On this day in agricultural history in 1941, General Mills introduced Cheerios. Each piece of the oat-shaped cereal is 1/2 inch in diameter and was manufactured from the barrel of a puffing gun at high temperature. The name was changed to Cheerios in 1945 to avoid a conflict with a competitor who suggested they had exclusive rights to use the word oats in a commercial name. And in 1977, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline began carrying oil from the Arctic Ocean to Prince William Sound. The cost of the single 48-inch in diameter pipeline was $8 billion. Since its opening, it has sent more than 15 billion barrels of oil to the lower 48 states. By the way, the steel pipe is resistant to gunshots, but in 2001, a drunken gunman shot a hole into a weld, causing a 6,000-barrel oil spill. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, it is time to look at the weather forecast. Josh Darr from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, Josh.
Oh, my pleasure. Todd, how are you this afternoon?
I'm warmer than I have been for a while, but I suppose that's not all that bad.
No, we need the growing units, don't we, at this time of the stage of the game. A beautiful day across Illinois, highs in the upper 80s to near some 90s popping here in the north central part of the state, and those temperatures look to be with us again tomorrow in the central southern part of the state, although tomorrow we're looking at the chance of thunderstorms as a activity that's currently across North Dakota, overnight moves across Minnesota into Wisconsin. Could sneak some thunderstorms tomorrow morning across the far northern part of the state, call it north of I-88, tomorrow morning, and then it looks like that could trigger leave the boundary for us, and then by late tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening, maybe another round or two of thunderstorms somewhere in the northern third of the state, depending on exactly where that boundary sits during the day tomorrow. But south of that boundary, central southern parts of the state, have another very warm day, and that looks to be the case through the weekend. We're staring down multiple days in the upper 80s to low 90s, and some wind to boot. So perfect growing conditions right now for late June, given the stage of the crop.
And when you look further into next week, does it continue?
Well, it looks like we continue the bias of above normal temperatures, Todd, as we're bringing some of the very dry and warm air off the Rockies across the central U.S., specifically here across Illinois. It looks like above normal temperatures persist through Thursday, Friday of next week before a front comes through and we back down to seasonal temperatures. No sign of below normal temperatures here for the next 2 weeks. So the fact that we need growing degree days and heating units to bring the crop along, it looks like that won't be a problem here through the early portion of July.
It sounds pretty good, but the coming off Colorado and being really dry part, I'm not sure that I actually liked.
Yeah, well, it feels a little reminiscent of last year, doesn't it? That's where our heat and dryness emanated last spring, and we know the outcome there. And certainly doesn't look like we're going that direction. We need weeks and weeks upon weeks of that pattern. But here for the next 7 to 10 days, that is the pattern, the heat and the drier conditions coming off the Rockies and through the central part of the U.S. and influencing temperatures here across Illinois, too. So, except for the northern third of the state, it definitely is a drier than normal pattern and above normal temperatures for the bulk of the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Other nations of the northern hemisphere you've been watching?
Well, China was developing some dryness, particularly across Manchuria. That looks to improve here as a wetter pattern ensues here in the last third of June. So no problems there. The other interesting area that's starting to pop up, Kazakhstan and the spring wheat belt. We see some drier trends that have developed there over the course of this month. No signs of rain through the first several days of July. And so as that crop heads towards heading, we'll see how that all plays out. But that's an area we're watching right now, Todd.
Thank you so much, Josh.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Josh Jarr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. Just to recap, the U.S. House of Representatives did take a vote this afternoon on passage of the Farm Bill, and it failed. We do not know what that means as we go forward, other than we're operating on an extension of the Farm Bill at this point. That extension expires in September. Stay with us each and every business day of the week. We'll try to keep you up to date on the markets and the policies. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.